Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
Good morning, and welcome back from your midweek break. It's Thursday, the 28th of April. I'm Alicia Seckham, coming to you live from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg, standing in for Simon Brown. On the show today, independent analyst Jimmy Moyaha helps us set the market scene amidst all the volatility we're seeing right now. Sam Okorosi, head of origination and deals at the JSE, chats us through Signia's most recent listing of an ETF targeting China and Hong Kong, and how ETF listings like these are being looked to help build the JSE's muscle. And John Luce of FNB puts the spotlight on the latest non-residential building stats. How much of an indication does it provide of what's to come as far as commercial building activity is concerned? We find out. The show brought to you by Standup. Visit standup.com to get in touch with their investment specialists. Standup Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Getting straight into your markets now, where we had risk appetite fizzle out fast on Tuesday. Wall Street clawing back those losses during yesterday's session, but trade was choppy. The S&P 500 finishing 0.2% to the good, the Dow up by the same margin, the Nasdaq in the meantime down just a touch, but pretty much flatlining by the close. Remember, this after the Nasdaq saw its biggest single session loss since September 2020 in the previous session, taking it deeper into bear market territory. Looking at Asian trade this morning, Shanghai trading 0.25% higher. We've got the Nikkei up 1.2% and the ASX in Sydney gaining just on 1%. In the commodities corner, gold moving between $1,878 and $1,880 an ounce, platinum at $916 an ounce, and Brent crude moving to $105.35 a barrel. On the currency front locally, the rand continuing its weakening trend, moving very close to the 16 to the dollar mark. It's seen eight straight sessions of decline as the dollar languishes at two-year highs. We've got the local unit at 15.95 against the greenback this morning. When it comes to the local bourse, both the All Share and the Top 40 ending higher on Tuesday. The Aussie 0.75% to the good, a 0.74% gain coming through there. The Top 40 trading higher by a similar margin with its 0.7% gain as well. That gain enough to at least settle investors into the Wednesday break, and probably best we skipped yesterday and the mayhem on US markets on Tuesday, with some positivity taking hold for now, even if it is temporary relief coming through. Joining me now to unpack that activity in a bit more detail is independent analyst Jimmy Moyaha. Jimmy, thanks so much for your time this morning. So some saying that the rebound into the green for markets, showing that stocks aren't ready to test year-to-date lows just yet. What are you making of where the markets are at, and how are you keeping up with all the volatility we're seeing right now?
Morning, Alicia. I think the sentiment at the moment around the markets is a lot more confused than we've seen it in recent times. We've definitely seen the markets trying to settle in certain areas, but you've still got a lot of things hanging over the markets like a very dark cloud. I mean, if we look at the possibility of a US Fed-led recession kicking in off the back of their aggressive tightening that we're expecting from their side. You look at the fact that the Ukraine tensions are still ongoing, and now countries in Europe are getting involved in that space. We know Germany's been quite vocal around how they feel that the gas and oil supply from Russia should be phased out and that sort of thing. So there are a lot of moving parts that are making investors very, very nervous at this point. And we're seeing that filter through into market sentiment. We're seeing that filter through into safe havens like gold and the Japanese yen. We're seeing that filter through into US dollar pricing, which, I mean, the dollar for the longest time has been seeing a lot of weakness and is now suddenly showing an immense amount of strength. I mean, we've seen the rand go from 14 rand 60 last week to about, as you said, just short of 16 rand now. So we're definitely seeing a lot of caution, a lot of worry, a lot of confusion in the markets. And I think that for the interim, I think that'll continue until we get sort of a clearer direction on the potential impacts of certain decisions, on the potential impacts of things like the Ukraine war, and whether or not that's going to be sustained and ongoing.
You touch on all the macro. I mean, I was going through the US earnings headlines coming through. Microsoft seeing big earnings beats, Alphabet big misses, Boeing results stumbling, GM reaffirming guidance. I mean, just how closely do we have to interrogate this earnings bag here? And I ask because the question doing the rounds is just a meeting of expectations enough, or do the markets actually expect and need more at this point?
So, I mean, first of all, a meeting of expectations is a starting point for the markets at this point. But what we've seen in terms of recent market sentiment and a lot of investor sentiment has not necessarily just been about the numbers that have been presented, but more around forecasts. So a lot of the companies have come out to say, yes, we missed forecasts, but we will do better next year. Or yes, we actually hit forecasts, but we expect that we're going to be missing them going forward. And I think the forward-looking statements are what's worrying investors more than whether or not companies were able to achieve the forecast.
And you see it coming through, Jimmy. Sorry to interrupt, but I mean, overall consensus seems to be that while earnings are supporting the markets to some extent, it's not enough to support it higher. So what does this mean for the local market then? I mean, you know, is the saying, be careful when the tide goes out, coming through very loudly? It's certainly come through on the rand.
Absolutely. I mean, your developed markets are going to be pushing, and your developed markets are going to be giving you a lot of sentiment and a lot of direction, a lot of guidance. And your emerging markets typically do lag behind in terms of the reporting and in terms of the performance that we see from them. And if the developed markets and the macro view from a global perspective is that there is caution and we're not going to see this change anytime soon. I mean, we know that we've now revised global outlooks down even further than before, which then says to investors that, okay, but if we're not going to see those returns, what are we going to see? What can we anticipate seeing? But on the flip side, I mean, you'd think that this would be driving things like safe haven sentiment and gold sentiment a lot higher. And you're seeing gold come back to test lows that it hasn't seen in a very, very long time
Gold, so one of those that has been confounding many across the board, Jimmy. Thanks so much for having joined us this morning. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, of course, that Jimmy Moyaha. He is an independent analyst.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Well, Signia has recently listed an ETF on the JSE targeting China and Hong Kong. What's on offer? Exposure to companies in consumption and service-oriented industry domiciled in mainland China and Hong Kong. Sam Okorosi, who's head of origination and deals at the JSE, joining me now to take a closer look. Sam, good to have you with us. So the Signia iTrix new China sectors ETF began trading last week. We're about a week into that now. How things going, and what's the reception to this offering been? Has there been any skittishness about what renewed lockdowns in China and implications of that on economic growth come into play?
Thanks for having me, Alicia. Look, we at the JSE are really excited about this listing. It continues the trend of double-digit growth in ETFs. And so obviously the China story is an interesting one. And when investors come into ETFs, obviously it's over a long-term horizon because you are investing in that basket of goods. So we've been quite happy with just the appetite that we're seeing from investors into this ETF, notwithstanding some of the concerns around lockdowns and COVID in China.
Yeah, like you say, there's been a lot of extrapolating from the kind of activity we're seeing here in terms of what this means for investor mindset, long-haul, cost-effective investing, what we're looking at without the need to, I guess, frequently make investment decisions about different shares, right? So when it comes to what exactly investors are buying into here, what's the investment incentive? Because it replicates the price and yield performance of the S&P New China Sectors Index. Right?
That's correct. I mean, for the first point, it makes it much easier for investors to get that China exposure. So if we look at some of the holdings in that basket that the ETF is following, it's Alibaba, it's Tencent, AIA Group. And so for an investor sitting in South Africa, specifically retail investors, it's difficult to get direct exposure to these shares or even indirect exposure, but with fairly kind of low nominal amounts, an investor can then invest in this basket to get exposure to that sector in China. And that's really exciting for us to be able to afford investors the opportunity for such exposure.
Sam, for the JSE, this takes now to 88, the number of ETFs listed on the JSE. To what extent does this start to alleviate the pressure of a diminishing listings pipeline over and above, the delistings that we've been seeing? How much does this work to actually fire up the JSE?
We're really very happy about the growth that we've seen in the ETF sector. Right now, we celebrated last year 20 years worth of ETFs on the exchange, and we're sitting at a market cap of almost 115 billion rand in market caps for ETFs today. And so that's really a fantastic growth over time for us. In terms of the delistings, it is something that we're obviously working at, but at the same time, the overall market cap of our equity index has been growing. We saw 15% market cap growth, allowing the JSE to actually have a market cap of 20 trillion rand for the first time past last year. And in terms of other asset classes, we've seen growth in our bond sector with sustainability-linked and sustainable segments bonds, green bonds, etc. And so whilst in the equities market we are seeing a number of small caps delisting, we are encouraged by some of the trends that we're seeing in the ETF space in sustainability space as well.
Having said that, Sam, do you think it's fair criticism, that there's a lack of investment opportunities on the JSE, and where are you at when it comes to your larger strategy of internationalizing the local bourse?
So in terms of opportunities to invest, as I said, the opportunity is actually increasing from a wealth perspective, if you look at market cap growth. If you look at alternative assets to straight equities, we've seen good growth in the number of listings there. I guess, the cycle has a lot to do with it. So we're seeing a lot of smaller companies delisting because of tighter liquidity in the smaller end of the market. And so these are kind of cyclical and global trends that we're experiencing. But the investability of the JSE continues to grow, with even the average market cap per company growing over time. And so we've seen that shift. In terms of international exposure, I think this ETF is talking to that trend. We also saw some exchange traded notes listed last year that give investors direct access to some of the FANG stocks in the US. So we're talking Facebook, Apple, Alphabet, Netflix, etc. So that international exposure is increasing. Okay. On the JSE.
Got you. Let's leave it there, Sam. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this morning. Sam Okorosi is head of origination and deals at the JSE.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Recent figures out of Stats SA show a slowing down in commercial building activity in 2022, but how much of a distinction needing to be made between the various sectors within the cluster? Retail, office, industrial space, F&B, commercial property finance sector strategist John Luce joining us now. Thanks so much, John, for joining us this morning. So
morning, Alicia.
At the top, we had square meterage of total industrial, retail and office space building plans passed fall 66.25% year-on-year in February, and that after roughly 103% rise and growth spike in January. So that's quite a rapid turnaround we've seen. Why the sudden and sharp U-turn?
Yeah, look, I think monthly figures are notoriously volatile in this sector, partly because it's a small sample size, but you know, it can be the way people report, the way Stats SA capture it over a month, or leads and lags in the data. So I don't pay too much attention to I smooth it out with a 12-month moving average just to get a bigger trend. And what we have seen there is indeed for the 12 months to February, a slowdown, it's still growing, 11% year-on-year growth, but from the 12 months to January, it's down from 38%. So there is a slowdown in growth, but it's difficult to say just looking at monthly volatile figures that have dropped that much. I think that's more the reporting.
So if we look more big term then, I mean, like you say, a slowing down in commercial building activity in 2022, but a survey done by F&B on the retail property space in particular, showing signs of improvement, declining vacancy rates. So how do we read this? I mean, is this pointing to strain in the other segments of the sector, office glaringly so, or more so broad strokes, John, that recovery in activity and sentiment is not necessarily translating into new build just yet?
Well, it won't just yet. There's always a big lag time. I think what one must remember is that all three sectors, office, retail and industrial, had rising vacancy rates for a few years. Even there was a rising trend even before the lockdown period, which obviously exacerbated it. So the vacancy rates are, let's put it, elevated, worst in obviously in the most extreme in the office sector, but also more significant in retail and industrial. So although we're starting to see our broker survey point towards declining vacancy rates, it's some time before those vacancy rates get noticeably lower and fuel the need for additional or new, a big new build. So, you know, I think it's realistic that for the time being, especially with interest rates rising now, that one would probably get building activity going slow for a while.
Yeah. If we stick with retail for a bit, John, how's that translating to rental rates? Do you see rental rates getting to a point where it starts to at least keep up with inflation, or, you know, does this continue coming up against the landlord?
Well, I think for now, I'm guessing for now, because you don't have up to the minute data, but I'm guessing that would come with a improved rentals and, you know, in noticeable escalations and real market rentals would probably take some time. It wouldn't happen immediately, as I say, because the tenant population has taken a knock. You know, not only are the vacancy rates still elevated, even though they might be starting to come down, but also the tenants are financially fragile, that we've seen in TPN data, where At a stage last year, in the second half of last year, only 64% of existing tenants were in good standing with regards to rentals. So they still have to recover. So there's probably something of a lag time there too before one sees a noticeable increase in rentals in that space.
Of course, John, we're all too familiar with the shift that's taken place in a hold of retail and consumer dynamic. There's been a significant shift in workplace dynamic as well. Office plans passed fell 58% year on year in February, off an already very low pace last year. At what point do you see things going back to pre-lockdown levels on that front, if at all?
Well, I think probably not this year back to pre-lockdown levels, but you know, maybe 2-3 years from now, I think interest rates would have to peak first as well. But I think what we need to allow for, so what's been happening for a long time now, office space has been the underperformer. Not only have we, the work from home trend, or the greater work from home trend, and the more efficient use of office space has been building with technological advancements for many, many years now. So the office share of total stock built has been declining for probably 2 decades or more. Now it's retail's turn, the share of stock to also start slowing, because there's this structural shift towards greater online retail. So I think the one that can first get back to pre-lockdown levels and be the outperformer in terms of building activity is the industrial and warehouse property, which benefits from sort of increased logistical requirements and so on. But it's the structural shifts are one thing, but then overall you've also got the challenge of, we don't have an economy that's shooting the lights out in general. So, it's probably a few years away before we get back to those pre-lockdown building levels.
Well, let's leave it there. John, thanks so much for having joined us bright and early this morning. John Luce is Property Sector Strategist at FNB. And that's where we leave things with you for today. The show brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with their investment specialist. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. The podcast is available just after 7. Thanks to the team, Eddie, Nobutle and Tisetso, my guests, for their morning contributions. And thank you for listening as well. I'm Alicia Seckham. This is MoneyWeb Now, and we'll catch up again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.